We rise. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. Amen. That scripture which has been recorded by the Holy Spirit for our meditation today comes from Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then one said to him, "Lord, are there few who are saved?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open for us,' and he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know you where you are from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know you where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity.' There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for your gracious invitation to hear your word in this sacred moment. Send now your Holy Spirit to work upon our hearts, that we may be led to repent of our sins, to believe on you in life and in death, and at last to recline eternally at the feast of your heavenly kingdom. In your saving name we pray. Amen. In that same sacred saving name, dear brothers and sisters, and all who seek to enter through the narrow gate, do you feel you know me? Do you feel I know you? One of the reasons for a pastor to set up home visits on a regular basis is so that he can get to know his members better and so they can get to know him. It's to build up a sense of mutual trust and understanding. To think you know somebody simply by outward observation is really not to know them at all. To know someone really is to have personal experience with them, to know them within their own life and their vocation. What I mean is, as a pastor, I emphasize the fact that my door is always open. I'm ready to make an appointment, to respond to an email, to answer a phone call. I'm called here to know you. Even as God has called me, so you have called me. And also that you would know me. The situation is urgent for us and for all people. Even more important than the question, "Do you know your pastor?" is the question, "Do you know Jesus? Does he know you?" That door to eternal life, or the gate, as it's translated in the New King James, will not always be open. We need to make an appointment with Jesus, or maybe even more rightly, he needs to make an appointment with us. As he indicates in our text, "My door is not always open. It is narrow to begin with. It could be shut any day, but it is open right now." You've probably seen one of those semi-trailers hauling pieces of a house down the road. Often they'll have a flag or a sign on the back that says "wide load." To be a driver of one of those vehicles, you have to know your routes well because you won't fit down every road. What happens when you come to the narrow bridge and it's miles and miles to get to any kind of passage? We find the question posed in our text, Lord, are there few who are saved? What do you suppose the all-inclusive, all-welcoming, all-compassionate Jesus would answer? Many will seek to enter and not be able. Entrance is not a matter of ability. The last will be first, and the first will be last. Think of what we're carrying with us. Think of the sin that clings to us, or the load of selfish pride that simply prevents us from earning our way through that narrow door. Perhaps it's a bit of a stereotype, but men often don't want to ask for directions. They don't want help. However, it's not just men. It's the child saying, I don't want to apologize. It's the wife saying, he'll never change. It's the father saying, you didn't follow my advice? Well, you're on your own. Pride lurks within every one of us, deceiving us into thinking we can find another way, another bridge, another pass. We'll skip this one and maybe we'll find it later on. Entrance to eternal life requires that all those sins be dealt with, be offloaded, that we be completely emptied of all pride, that we be truly last. The door is narrow because it is exclusive. Not according to who you and I are, but according to who Jesus is. Not according to who God saves, but according to how God saves. To get in that door, you need to know the one who opens. A general sense of who this Jesus is, of who you are, just won't do. They were seeking, they were knocking, they were asking, but it was too late. To know Jesus is to know him as the one who journeyed to Jerusalem. Why does the Spirit record this in verse 22? The Holy Spirit wants to drive home a point. Teaching alone was not Jesus' office. There on the mountain lay his work, his mission, his calling. Jesus had sought, he had asked, he had found God in a way that no one else ever had, truly fulfilling the right to enter that narrow door, truly being last. And yet in Jerusalem, the door will be shut to him. In Jerusalem, his mission is to die your death. In Jerusalem, he will be cut off from the living, cut off from his heavenly Father. In Jerusalem, we find the only way to cross that bridge. Here's where we journey today, to Jerusalem. We unload all that hinders us from entering. In Jerusalem, God opens the door and squeezes us through by his work, by his Spirit, by the faith that he's put in your hearts. Yes, it's narrow. Well, I often say that my door is open. That's not literally true. There's many times like this next week when my door will be shut, it'll be locked. God willing, however, I'll return. I'll return to answer an email, a phone message. I'll return to set up an appointment with whoever wants to. However, with Jesus, this is not true. When he shuts the door, there's no more chances. No more appointments to be made. No more meetings with his grace and forgiveness. When Jesus shuts the door, it will be shut forever. We read in our text, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. The door could be shut any day. We know this because the Master has risen up. Jesus has declared that all things are now ready. In fact, in just a chapter later, he will tell the parable of the banquet feast. He will tell how he sends out his servant to call and gather those who have been invited first to this Jewish audience which Jesus addresses. He will send them out and find only excuses. He will tell his servant to move on, to go into the highways, to the hedges, to the corners of the earth, seeking and calling, compelling, that my house may be filled, he says, for I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. The Jewish people in Jesus' day were standing right in front of the same Lord who would be their judge. The weeping and gnashing of teeth is knowing that this Jesus stood right in front of them, proclaimed that precious message of salvation, of free forgiveness. This Jesus journeyed to Jerusalem for them. He opened his door to all sinners, and they made excuses. They mocked. They crucified their own Lord. He says to them, I do not know you. But dear Christians, thanks be to God that he has not shut that door on you. For he does know you, and you know him. That door, as narrow as it might be through faith in Jesus, has been opened to you. To the east, to the west, to the north, and to the south, Jesus has journeyed. And he stopped right here in Batavia. He stopped right here to make an appointment with you, that you might know him better, and that he might show you he knows you better than you know yourself. He has opened the office of his word so that right now he may give you eternal life. And notice how this is accomplished. Not by my knocking on the outside, but by his opening freely from the inside. Not by my asking, but by him opening before you even thought to ask. Not by my seeking or ability or resistance or commitment, but by the giving of his works, his death, his resurrection, his invitation. Not by merely saying Lord on our lips, but by the Holy Spirit putting it into our heart to have Jesus as our Lord. Not by merely eating and drinking in Jesus' presence on earth, but by receiving his body and blood in his heavenly presence. Not by merely hearing him teach in your midst, but by him teaching your heart to repent and believe in him. Not by you deserving to be first, but by Jesus deserving to be first and choosing to be last. Right now, Jesus stands at the door for you. You know Jesus, and he knows you. He first met with you in the waters of baptism, right at the font, as he washed you from all of your crooked ways, all of your detours you would take in your life, every time you put off and avoid a meeting with him. He washed you clean of that. He has confronted your sins, the deepest and darkest, which few, if any of us, know about. And he's unloaded them off of you, paying for them in every way, and pulling you through that narrow door to meet with him in his word today. Literally, Jesus says, struggle to enter through the narrow door. He uses a word which means to engage in a contest, to fight. This process of repentance and faith is a struggle for us, and it will be to the day we leave our sinful flesh behind. So Paul uses the same word when he writes to Timothy, fight the good fight, struggle, the good struggle of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. But don't feel you're doing it alone. To the east, to the west, to the north, and the south, sit fellow sinners bought with the blood of Christ who struggle with many of the same sins that you struggle with. They sit here next to you to strengthen you, to share your burdens so that you're not alone. Likewise, my door is open right now. Your church's doors are open right now. The doors of God's Word are open every day as you open your Bible, as you read a devotion, as you consider God's message and good news for you. You recline at the feast of heaven twice a month when you come to receive our Lord's body and blood. His door is open. He makes himself known to you through this new covenant as he proves an eternal grace in which you're standing right now. Something that cannot be taken away from you. Through your fellow believers, through your pastor, through the word, through baptism, through the Lord's Supper, you know Jesus. And you find the door has been opened and he's brought you right into his office. He's with you every step of the way through your journey. So we look forward to that day when our Lord will say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you since the foundation of the world." Let us pray. Holy Jesus, every day keep us in the narrow way, and when earthly things are past, bring our ransomed souls at last, where they need no star to guide, where no clouds thy glory hide. Amen.